go higher, baby. You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. And we are going to elevate your mind. Indeed, we are. Oh, my gosh. I do. I have two of the brightest people I know here in studio with me, Dr. David Young and Robin Perry Braun. And then there's me and Lexi, and Elise is on the controls. Danny Boy is still on vacation. I saw some of his pictures on Facebook.
Is he having a good time?
Oh, he is. Indeed, he is. Yeah, Danny's getting a lot of everything, I think, while he's out there on the ocean.
On the ocean?
Well, he's at the ocean side, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Elise, I like the way you kept the music going for a little longer. I like that.
Thanks.
You know, it does. It of course, music is so powerful.
I know.
Absolutely powerful. Music can just completely change a mood in a room, can it?
Oh, absolutely. I brushed my teeth this morning to music. It was great.
Did you?
Yeah.
You brushed your teeth?
It was really nice.
So is that that's actually a good way to brush longer. You brushed through the whole song.
There you go. You want to brush for what? That'd be a 3-minute brush?
What's the average length of a song? 3 to 4 minutes?
Yeah.
I don't know. Something
like
that.
Be a good brush.
Unless it's like, you know, one of the trippy ones from the 70s where they did so many drugs they just kept playing and
Led Zeppelin.
Oh my gosh.
They were somewhere else.
Yeah. So,
how do we get back there?
Show me the way. The 70s?
Yeah.
They did have really good films, and I saw a really good film actually on Saturday, one of the best I've seen in a while, called Hell or High Water with Jeff Bridges.
Oh yeah.
And then
he's good.
I still didn't look up the other two guys, two other hot actors, you know. But it was so good. It was an old fashioned like Western, and it shot right in Texas.
All right.
So it's a Texas, like a real, you know.
A real Texas Western.
A real Texas Western, you know, but it's new, but it's a. And my favorite line out, I said this yesterday, my favorite line out of the whole movie was the brother that was the drunk. It said, "It's beer o'clock," like in the middle of the day.
Yeah,
you know, because he wanted a beer.
But,
they drank a lot of beer. You know, they were dusty and dirty a lot. There was a lot of. But there were some really good scenes in it.
The water wasn't clean, you know. It's kind of like back in Jesus' time. They drink wine or nothing, you know. So beer or nothing, because you can't drink the water. So.
Well, and it had the scene with the, you know, it's always got a real sweet waitress, a southern waitress, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
With a real low cut uniform.
Cleavage. Uh-huh.
With her breasts peeling out.
I love southern hospitality.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you got to go see it. It's a really good movie.
I watched another Texas movie last night.
I am. Even though people say, oh, you are not. You like Batman or whatever the name of that was. Batman came back.
So you liked this one. It was good. We should watch it.
It was really, really good. You guys need to go see it. What did you say? You watched
No
TV?
Country for Old Men.
Oh, that's...
Another movie filmed in Texas, which is pretty violent and pretty crazy. But they had a good line in there. He said, oh, this is a mess, isn't it? And he said, well... It'll do if the mess if it ain't, it'll do till the mess gets here.
Don't you love? I love some of the sayings that you can.
That's
you know
great.
Those old Texas sayings.
Oh, they're great.
One of them in the movie was, "Well, none of us ever really get away with anything, now, do we?
That's
you know,
yeah.
and
yeah.
we don't. At the end of the day, nobody really gets away with anything.
You don't. You can't escape it.
So, David, you have to go see Central Intelligence. It's a great psychology movie because the guy was a fat. It was The Rock, and he was a fat kid in high school who got bullied and humiliated terribly.
The Rock, like the Rock.
The Rock, yeah.
Okay.
So then he becomes a CIA agent, and he's buff and built, but he goes back to like being around this bully, and he like freezes, and he shuts down, and he kind of looks in his reflection in the mirror, and he sees the fat kid, and I'm like, we never outgrow who we are in high school, you know?
Really?
Yeah. I mean, there's just those traumas. I've talked about that. Some of those identity we have when we're younger that gets formed by our peers'
I was painfully shy in high school. Painfully shy. And when I did speak, people would laugh and say stuff like, you're funny, Fiaschetti. And I'd go, I didn't know if they were making fun of me or if they really thought I was funny. And it used to freak me out. And high school, I was very insecure. I'm just going to say I was extremely insecure. Yeah. But I think part of that was, you know, I've talked about this many times on the show. I had have a brother who's schizophrenic. And, you know, it was a small town. A lot of people gossip and they used to make fun of our family because of my brother. And they suck. So
anyway, but
there you have it.
This is also a great movie because as of this badass CIA agent, he's a total nerd. His favorite movie is like 16 Candles and he wears a unicorn t-shirt.
Oh.
And here's The Rock playing this nerdy, badass character.
Uh-huh.
It's just hilarious.
I don't think you can say A-double-S on the
No, no,
air.
But that's a cool word.
It is a cool word.
It's
I love that word.
B-A. It's B-A, yeah.
Yeah. But it's okay.
Okay.
I think you can say it.
Yeah. Let me know. I'll refrain in the future if you find out it's censored.
That, well, you all know you can't say. I know. But, you know, there's some real good ones you can't.
We can spell them, though, huh?
I don't know. Elise, can we spell them? You're not allowed to even spell them.
No?
Uh-uh. No, I'm pretty
sure.
Can't
spell them. Okay.
You know, I've had this conversation a couple times with Danny. Not that I would ever speak like that in public. You know, the only time I do that is when I'm like really, really mad and I'm like in my car or at home and there's nobody around, you know.
Yeah, we know.
You know. Do you do that? Do you swear like that?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding
like,
me?
Like pull out the really big ones like, you know, like MF and stuff?
Oh, that's my favorite. That happens to be my all-time favorite.
Now,
I
don't cuss at all.
Really?
So if my kids hear
Penelope.
If they hear the S word come out of their mouth, you see them go, they're shocked, and they know I mean it. Whatever I said, I meant it, because they heard this very rare expletive come out of my mouth.
Well, my mother never swore, and my father swore like a sailor, because he was. and he was from New York, and he was in the restaurant business. So my father had a terrible mouth. He did. And my mother was a total opposite. And we grew up with a cuss box on our kitchen table.
Yeah.
A cuss box.
Did he have to put a quarter in every time he cussed? Or y'all did? The kids did.
Everyone did.
Everyone did?
It wasn't very effective.
Was it your vacation money at the end of the year?
No. You know, I think my mother, you know, it's one of those things you
she
try
bought a new car after your dad.
She saw it. She bought it. We, you know, I don't know. But it's funny how, you know, it's a trickle down from the top, even in a home.
Yeah.
Sure it really is.
So. You don't even know what kids pick up. They pick up everything.
They do.
Everything.
Have you seen that video where the little boy's like one or two and he's watching the Rocky movie?
Uh-uh.
And it's on Facebook. I'll have to tag you on it. But he's like completely imitating all of the Rocky stuff.
Oh, no, I did see that.
Have you seen that? It's so cute. But then it's like, oh, my gosh. You know, like he learned the whole routine. He had it down, the push-ups, the boxing.
It was super cute.
Super cute. But then you think, man, those kids, they mimic everything they see us do.
They really, really do.
They do.
Did you see it on Facebook, Lexi?
No, I did not see that.
No. Lexi has a sty in her eye, but you can't see it now. It's gone down a lot.
It was huge this morning.
It started yesterday. Mm-hmm. So
some colloidal silver.
What's that?
Colloidal silver. You can buy the
colloidal silver. Is it colloidal or what?
Colloidal.
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 That's a good word.
Colloidal means.
I said it like Popeye.
Colloidal.
Colloidal means particles suspended in water.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's a fun fact.
Fun fact.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know what? We've got a really great show coming up today. We do. And I want to talk in depth about I want to go to break as soon as possible because I really want to dig into this steps to emotional health. I think this is so important for so many people and how to set realistic expectations for yourself. And this is.
We're just going to figure that out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
We're going to solve it.
We're going to solve it?
Yeah.
Any chicken news before we go to break?
We've got a bobcat, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Did we talk about the bobcat?
Yes, what's up with the bobcat?
He's still poaching, so trying to figure out what to do about
it. Well, don't hurt him.
No, we're not going
to
hurt him.
He has to eat.
We're just trying to build a better kind of enclosure for the chickens. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Why don't you? Well, no, you shouldn't feed him because then he'll forget how to feed himself. But
Yeah. I don't know. There's lots of land out there for him to roam. And
you would think there'd be plenty of what? Like possums and why is he going to probably
well,
he likes chicken.
All the chickens chicken's
good. A bobcat
good.
Wouldn't go after a possum. Possums are vicious.
Oh, yeah, they are.
I told you. I actually had an experience last week where a possum played possum on my backyard.
No way.
That is the coolest thing to see.
Wow.
I've never experienced it. So I'm I forget what night it was. I think it was Thursday night, last Thursday night. And no, it was the week before because we were on vacay. Okay, so I'm exercising, I'm dancing, I'm chilling, and I look outside. My dogs are going crazy over something. So I go to the back door. I'm like, knock it off. Get in here. And then I look. When they came in, there's a possum. I'm like, oh, my gosh. They killed the possum. Oh, my gosh. And I could have sworn, unless it was just my mind working overtime, that I saw, like, juice coming out of them or something. So I got the dogs in. I'm like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I don't want to go out there and get this thing. You know how ugly they are. And they look like a big rat. And
yeah.
And so I waited, and I sat there, and I watched, and I watched, and I watched to find out. Because it occurred to me, I'm like, wait a minute.
Maybe he's faking it.
What if he's is this what they're talking about when they say playing possum?
Yeah.
He's playing possum, possibly. And so anyway, after about 10 minutes, I turned for a second in my kitchen to look at something, and when I looked back, he was gone.
Yeah. Wow.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness he was alive and he was healthy and he took
gone.
Him. Yeah, because I didn't know what to do, and I didn't want to pick him up and then have nightmares about it. And then I couldn't let the dogs out in the morning when I get up without cleaning up the possum.
And it's juices.
And it's juices. And then I'm like, and what am I going to do with it? It's like, oh, please.
I had the same experience where, I mean, it literally went sequentially just like that, where I'm like, oh, it's a dead possum. What am I going to do? Wait a minute. Hold on. Possums play dead, don't they? You know, the whole kind of thing that you do in your mind.
Right.
It took me a while to catch up and
me
realize.
Too. I had a snake do
possum.
That in my house one time.
Oh, gosh.
And I swept it out the front step, and it was playing possum.
Oh,
my
wow.
dog was playing with it in the house.
Oh,
it got into the doggy door, and I
Lord
swept
Jesus.
It out on the front step, and I thought I'll deal with it later, and I came out, and it was gone.
I tell couples.
So snakes play possum, too. Apparently.
What is it? Was in your house?
It was in my house, yeah.
And what? How do you know it was gone?
I swept it out on the front step with a broom,
even
and then it was
saying
gone.
The words and the visual going through my mind of sweeping a snake like makes me want to faint. I'm not kidding you. I have such extreme fear of snakes, like extreme. I need therapy. Maybe you guys can help
snake
me.
Therapy.
All right, we're gonna go to break, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. Do you want to reverse the early signs of aging? Hi, this is Bernadette. Do what I do. Pixel Perfect is an aesthetic laser treatment that lifts away years from your face. It can help reverse the early signs of aging and helps counteract years of sun damage or acne scarring. It provides noticeable results. Imagine a dramatic new you. To learn more, go to LynnRobertsMD.com. That's L-Y-N-N-E, RobertsMD.com. Or call 469-232-9300. That's 469-232-9300. And tell them that Bernadette sent you.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
Do your summer parties need a little sparkle? Find everything you'll need, replacement bulbs for your patio lights, new string lights in a ton of colors, and installation hardware at Christmas Light Source. You can find us online at christmaslightsource.com. That's christmaslightsource.com.
Radio. This is Bernadette with Elise Saprina, Lexi Brinkley, Dr. David Young, and Robin Perry Braun. Dr. David Young is the assistant clinical professor in psychiatry at UT Southwestern Medical Center. He is licensed clinical psychologist in private practice here in Dallas, Texas. And Robin Perry Braun is a licensed therapist who has worked specifically with sex and sexual addictions for 15 years. She's also an emotion code energy practitioner and does Skype sessions all over the world. She uses a holistic approach to address mental, emotional, and physical problems. And today we're talking about steps to emotional health. I'm a little green from being off for a week.
Yeah.
I am. I'm like having trouble getting into the zone.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
After only 1 week. Imagine what I'd be like. I'd be totally just like a mess any
puddle.
Longer. I'd be a puddle. That's right.
She'd be singing 70s tunes if you gave her 2 weeks.
Oh, my goodness. So steps to emotional health. This is a very good subject. This is a very big subject. And I think everyone out there listening and everyone here has gone through ups and downs in their life where their emotional health hasn't been up to par. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
I mean, it's part of the human experience.
It is. Absolutely. And so because it's such a big topic, I really wanted to focus on Let's just say we have the highest addiction rate in the world, I believe. And mm-hmm. and I believe, and Dr. David, you can correct me if you disagree, but I believe that the core issue with addiction is that children are not taught how to process emotions or given a place to do so.
Yeah,
and
no,
there may
agree.
Be all other kinds of issues involved, but they're not given the tool. They don't come to emotional maturity. And so their brain moves to substances or behaviors to try to medicate versus learning how to healthy process emotions healthily.
Well, yeah, and at very early ages, even food.
Food is the first because it's the first thing we identify with,
you know.
Right?
And then sex, I think, would probably be next in that list.
Yeah,
don't you think so?
Kids with smoking or alcohol mm-hmm. or you know mm-hmm. that type of thing. So
yeah. All kinds of things can happen.
Sure. And porn can start really, younger and younger.
I didn't want to go there, kind of, yeah. sort of, but I did. But, you know, I know that with little boys sometimes, masturbation can become a really big problem. It become an addiction at an early age when sure. a child's trying to cope with something because it releases the right. All the feel-good chemicals
absolutely.
That makes them temporarily feel better.
Absolutely. Yeah. yeah.
So
So I really thought we could focus on more like... not the topic of I'm an adult and how do I do this, but let's talk about children, and then we can always go back to doing something we never learned how to do as yeah. a child, right?
Yeah. Okay, so can parents help children, or how can they help children to become emotionally healthy?
Well, I think the key is, regardless of how we grew up as parents, if we understand that the key to producing healthy children is giving them, one, a safe place to feel negative feelings. And we've got to be intentional about our message. It can't just be, oh, tell me how you feel, but then the minute they feel a negative feeling, we tell them what to do, or we say, get over it. You know, we've got to give them a place to go through the feeling. Mm-hmm. We've got to be with them through it. They don't know how to go from a state of upset back to a place of peace. We've got to be with them through that. So we also have to be working on our own emotional health.
I was just going to say, I mean, how many the kids are screwed up because the parents have put them through something,
right?
Yeah. For the most part,
right?
And their own garbage that's still laying around,
right?
Yeah.
So
right?
we have to realize we want emotionally healthy children. We don't get a pass. We don't get a bye. We got to be working on it on ourselves mm-hmm. too. So you give them a safe place. How do you feel? Sad. Now the other thing is, a 3-year-old doesn't have any words for their emotions. You have to, they feel, and you tell them how they're feeling, 3 or 4-year-old. They're crying. You say, oh, you're sad. You know, what happened? Now, they may not be able to articulate it. Maybe mm-hmm. simple. You know, Johnny said I was ugly. Oh, okay, I'm so sorry. And then it's really about being with them in their emotion. Our brains are wired for peace and joy. And what adults are supposed to do is take their children from a place of upset back to a state of peace and joy. There's a part of your brain, it's called the nucleus accumbens, and it's your little upset center. So when mm-hmm. you're upset, there's like a little light switch that goes on, your nucleus accumbens is activated, and it wants that light switch turned back off.
Yeah. Well, and when they're little, it's easy to comfort them.
It's easy.
Because you're loving on them, you're kissing them, you're, you know, holding them, you're rocking them. But as they get older, that's more difficult to do.
It is.
And it is a difficult transition for a parent, I think, as well, to understand. So how does a parent transition from the easy way to comfort a child to now they have this bigger, smarter brain with more thoughts, more emotions? What do you do with that?
Well, let me just give a couple of stereotypes. So... big boys don't cry. So they get to a certain age and your 5 or 6-year-old boy skins his knee and he's bawling and boohooing. And the dad goes, oh my gosh, I'm raising a wimp. Mm-hmm. Right? So he goes, straighten up, buck it up, you know, push through it. That's not really helpful to help that little boy get back to a state of joy.
Yeah.
But there's a stereotype. Boys aren't supposed to have emotions, negative emotions, or have perturb. Okay, so that's one stereotype.
Yeah.
For the girl,
mm-hmm.
oh, you're just too sensitive. That shouldn't hurt your feelings. So these are the things that parents do over and over again. One, because they don't have time, or they don't know how,
mm-hmm.
but they make judgments. Let's just say they make judgments about how their children ought to, have to, need to be. Some children are more sensitive than others, but it's not a wrong. It's not making them wrong.
Yeah. What I'm thinking of myself in that instance, how I react and have reacted is I'm like, oh my gosh, are you okay? Oh my, let me kiss it. And then I'm like, okay, get up and don't be a a CPAP. You know, like, it's okay. You're fine. Your your leg's not broken.
And sometimes you need to not overreact as a parent because that heightens their emotion more.
Yeah.
You want to, what we call, synchronize with them where they're at and then kind of bring them back down, which is what you did.
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay? Concern, love thing. And then you kind of feel like intuitively that they're not really hurt that bad. They're
right.
kind of milking it now.
Right.
And then you kind of bring them back down. And they learn. I got comforted. I'm back to a state of joy. And it's not going to benefit me to get more negative attention
mm-hmm.
or because mom's figured me out.
Yeah.
So but you know that because you have synchronized with your child. You've connected with them. And you kind of really know now that they're okay.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're really
well,
need
and children
to
will do that too when they're neglected and you don't really
Absolutely.
Realize that if you're not spending enough time with them, all of a sudden something hurts.
Absolutely.
Seriously. Yeah. Have you had your kids
do
that?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like something
all the time.
Like my toe yesterday, this friend of a friend of mine, their child's toe hurt and it's like, oh, your toe hurts? Let me see. Looks fine to me. Does it feel like it's broken? No. Okay. It'll be fine. Hug, kiss, you know.
Yeah.
We're good.
Well, and it strikes me that when something like that is going on, it's, you know, that it's like a stand-in for another need, right, for
mm-hmm.
attention. Like, my toe is hurting, I need attention. And I think one of the things that Robin's pointing out here is that you're trying to kind of symbolize in language through acknowledging what's really going on as a way of giving the child a way of understanding what's actually happening internally, because they do not fully understand this. So then when you address the attention-seeking, like, hey, do you want mommy's attention?
Mm-hmm.
Here I am. And that can resonate with them. You've now given them a way of understanding what's going on inside. And this is, I think, Robin, the way I'm hearing it, what you're saying about what can be helpful in preventing the need to use, say, drugs in order to self-soothe when you don't know how to manage what's going on
inside.
Well, and,
yeah, exactly. And you know what you made me think of? So I tried to make an appointment for my little one for her back to school appointment, and they have a separate line just for the ADD medications. I'm like, seriously?
Yeah.
There's something wrong with this country when you have the pediatrician has a separate line just for the ADD medications. We as parents all need to do a better job. That includes me. You know, I'm not, you know, calling the kettle black, but it made me really sad. Like, what the heck are we doing where we have so many kids on ADD? A lot of kids are just creative, you know, or boys are just distracted. They like to do,
they
like
need
to
play more.
They need to play more. Exactly. Yeah. It's not attention deficit disorder.
And some of it is genuinely a generation of malnutritioned children. And
exactly. I mean, I'm ADD sometimes. Does that mean I need to jump on a medication? No, I need to be more focused and get more organized or do whatever I have to do, not jump on a magic bullet pill.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
So I have to say real quick, the other day I was muscle testing somebody and they were on ADD, they're on Ritalin, and the first thing that came up for them was EMFs.
Was what?
EMFs, electromagnetic frequencies.
Oh, okay.
So mm-hmm. in the effect that it was having on the pituitary, which then affects all these other glands.
Mm-hmm.
So now we've got this generation of electromagnetic frequency bombarded people, and we're ignoring the possibility that this could be frying their brains.
Well, it's a multi-billion-dollar business.
Sure.
Think about it. You know, doctors they're businessmen. They're doctors too. And I do think that there's a lot of fine doctors out there that try to heal people, but there's a lot of doctors out there that are nothing more than prescription writers.
But that may be all they know how to be. That's the allopathic model is just treat the symptom.
Right.
We don't care what caused it. We don't even know how to find out what caused it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. We're just going to give you
it's such a complex issue. I think
that
a lot of people are doing the best that they can, and I think that there are just some of us who kind of recognize that there may not be ready answers to what this ADHD presentation
mm-hmm.
really is and what all the etiologies are, but that we assume that it's multiple and not just an organic frontal lobe disorder.
Right.
You know, that like electromagnetic frequencies,
nutrition,
or, you know,
stress,
attunement when you're
divorced,
all this.
Think how sideways
processing.
Divorce makes children for years, you know? Of course, you know, they're going to be easily distracted.
Yeah.
Their mind's on something else, you know? They just want to be happy again. They want a family again. So many children suffer, you know, at the hands of adults. It's really sad. We should do a whole show, really, because you know what? At the end of the day, emotional health affects everything.
Yeah.
Everything. Every aspect of your life. Everything.
Yeah. It's primary. We got to keep talking about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. All right. You know what? We got to go to break, and we're coming right back. I don't know what we're going to talk about. We may continue a little bit about this. Dr. David Young is going to talk about how to set realistic expectations for yourself. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Hey, sports nutrition fans. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN, the International Society of Sports Nutrition. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
We all know water is essential for life, but all water is not created equal. And here's what separates Crazy Water from the rest. Crazy Water is as nature intended, with minerals and electrolytes infused by Mother Nature, not some factory. Have it shipped right to your house or find a retailer near you through their website at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com. It's water as nature intended.
Here's the dill pickle. Squatty Potty works. It's awesome. Find yours at your local Bed Bath & Beyond, Amazon, or SquattyPotty.com. That's SquattyPotty.com.
I'm Simon Cowell for PETA. Far be it from me to be critical, but I find it really appalling that this year thousands of dogs will die of heat stroke inside parked cars. There, people thought that that little errand would only take a minute, or it wasn't that hot. But delays happen, and temperatures inside a car quickly rise in summer, even when the window's cracked. Never, ever leave your dog inside a parked car. Your dog idolizes you. In warm weather, keep him safe at home.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Elise Sabrina, and I've got Lexi Brinkley, Robin Perry Braun, and Dr. David Young. Robin Perry Braun is a licensed therapist who has worked specifically with sex and sexual addictions for 15 years. She's also an emotion code energy practitioner, and Dr. David Young is an assistant clinical professor in psychiatry at UT Southwestern Medical Center. He's a licensed clinical psychologist in private practice here in Dallas, Texas. And today we're going to be talking about how to set realistic expectations for yourself. And so, you know, David, we all possess ideals about ourselves. So all of us have standards and expectations of ourselves. But how often do we really stop and ever ask if our expectations of ourselves are realistic? I know I do sometimes and wonder, am I really, you know, is what I'm doing right now what I really should be doing? Am I being realistic? Uh-huh. And taking the time, most people don't take the time, really, do they, to reflect on our ideals, because that can really help you avoid a lot of frustration and anxiety, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's great that you do that. And I think that, you know, it's something that we've got to build into our lives, you know, because I think that these ideals for ourselves just kind of like exist seamlessly in our minds. You know, we just kind of like take it for granted that I've got to be the best at this. I've got to do this perfectly, you know. And when you fall short of that ideal, often what happens is you experience yourself as a failure. You know, or less than,
but
or
I do
being
think,
defective.
And I do think it's good to question yourself, because when you do that, you remain humble.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get too big for your britches and think, oh, I got this. I'm so good at what I do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think that there's a healthy balance between confidence and humility that basically kind of almost sets the mold for whether or not you're really realistic. Does that make sense? I don't know if I'm articulating it very well.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that it's hard work to really kind of dig into what's realistic for you. And, I mean, this is not easy. I mean, you know, we don't know what we're capable of. We don't know what we can accomplish when we set our minds to it. You know, we don't, you know, oftentimes have a realistic assessment about what our strengths and weaknesses are, you know, and I think that it's kind of a lot of time spent in reflectivity about ourselves.
Reflectivity. Mm-hmm. I've never heard that. Is that a real word or is that just a...
I don't know. Did I just... Is that real? Hey, I don't know.
I like it. I really, yeah, really like works. It. So how do unrealistic expectations even start, and how do they lead to anxiety, or why?
Well, so we kind of internalize these expectations that we see around us or that our parents have of us, you know? Like we were talking earlier, Robin was talking earlier about, you know, maintaining emotional health and, you know, how important it is for parents to be attuned to their children and not just kind of be dismissive of how they're feeling. You know, don't be this way. Be this way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that in and of itself can set up an expectation about how I'm supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you bring that right in. As a child, you just internalize that expectation and it become, you know, one term for it that many people may have heard is a superego. Mm-hmm. Ideal, you know, this part of ourselves that is kind of the moral part, the idealistic part about what, you know, what we think we need to be in order to be loved and accepted and good.
Right.
So these ideals creep in.
So give me an example of someone who has unrealistic expectations.
Well, I'll just be kind of self-reflective, you know, like I, you know, it's easy for me and myself to identify that I had a father who was very smart. And he kind of built his life on being very smart. You know, he was a Harvard professor. I didn't know that. Yeah. So he had all these
Look
kind of credentials.
You. No wonder you're so smart.
I'm just trying to be like my dad. You know, wow. I am. And I understand that that's a driving force in me to be smart enough.
Wow.
You know, it drives so much of what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's connected with, you know, can I be like my dad?
Yeah.
Can he love me? Can a guy that smart love me? You know, and I know that, you know, I'm articulating it. And when you say it consciously, it can sound silly,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you're doing this, when you're with yourself and you're kind of reflecting on, you know, what drives me, what am I trying to be like, who am I trying to be, et cetera. When you actually say the words, it should make you feel a little uncomfortable to say,
yeah.
you know, like something that you don't want to quite admit.
Yeah, no, I get it.
You know, and that's kind of one litmus test, you know. So that would be an ideal for me, trying, you know, wanting to be smart and always having to kind of think clearly about, well, what does that mean? I mean, there's a part of this that's a vestige, you know, a timeless remnant of my psychic, you know, self where I'm always trying to be that, always trying to be yeah. that, driving at it. But because it's so timelessly internalized within me, it doesn't necessarily apply to my life now.
Mm-hmm. Is your dad still alive?
No, he died in 2008.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, in a study of the seven fears that all humans have, the number one fear that we have is not being smart enough or good enough.
Mm.
And so in the same way, you know, David said, Bernadette, you can relate to, as a mom, there's this invisible criteria
oh, yeah.
for being a good mom. And
right.
we never meet it.
Right.
We always yeah. fall short in some way.
Some way. And it's always the mom's fault.
Moms are always talking about, well, this mom did this, and you know, mm-hmm. and because you parent differently than I do. And so you're always in fear of being criticized by other moms.
Yeah.
Because you're not meeting this invisible criteria that mm-hmm. nobody has really established. And so, you know, yeah. in relating to that on the area of being a mom, you know, I know for me, I just came to the place where I had to set inside my conscience what I felt like was a reasonable expectation as a single mom who has a career and has to parent as well.
Mm-hmm.
as to what my conscience and my heart would allow for being a good mom, being attuned, being all this, not expecting perfection, mm-hmm. but it shut the voices out from the other moms of
right.
I'm not good enough or whatever. So I think that, you know, as you said, somewhere you had to establish inside of you what smart enough was.
Yeah,
right.
Right, right.
Well, I think you made it.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Oh, woohoo. Well,
and your dad, no, there's no question about it. Anyone that listens to the show regularly loves you. Here's the thing about you. You're brilliant. Your mind is brilliant, but you're very humble and you're very real and you're very transparent. Those combinations of together are just amazing. You don't see it very often. So your dad obviously did a lot of things right.
Well, thank you.
And not just being smart. I'm guessing he was a very humble man.
Yeah, I think so in a lot of ways. But in a lot of ways, his need to be smart drove him.
Right.
And so, you know.
Well, you don't want to be anybody's fool.
Yeah. Well, this is true, too.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that never feels good.
Also realize that these are not just kind of these big lodged boulders that you have to kind of break up and get rid of. I mean, our minds work dynamically. I'm just talking about one little piece of our mind that works dynamically with other pieces of your mind. So even though I'm driven in that way, it's not the only way. And it's integrated into a lot of other parts of me. So even if I am trying to do something and be the best at it because I'm trying to be good enough, it's not the only reason. There are also multiple other inputs that are driving me to act in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And none of them diminish or trivialize the others, you know. So we say in psychology, things are multiply determined.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Any old thing always has multiple kind of inputs feeding it, you know. So,
yeah, right.
So you know, you don't have to get too anxious about any one part of yourself here.
Right. Well, I think, and I've read a lot about how important it is to be realistic. You also to be an optimist as well.
That
they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
And there's lots of studies out there that show that realistic optimists may have more success and happiness than people that don't. But
oh,
there's a delicate balance, isn't there?
Yeah, there really is. What a challenging kind of idea to wrap your mind around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how to be a realistic optimist. You
right.
Know? You know, I guess it can be harmful and anxiety provoking to have grandiose optimism about what's possible.
Right.
You know,
because
then you're going to fall short and maybe lose hope.
So how do you keep yourself in a zone that's realistic, that's not over the top? And if it is that if you're like too optimistic where, you know, I mean, you think, I don't know, I'm trying to think of something crazy like.
Well, you know, I want to interject something there. So let's look at Gandhi. Okay.
Okay.
So when Gandhi went on his fast, I don't think he had in his mind that he was actually going to change the nation,
mm-hmm.
or that people were going to do what they did.
Right.
He was just passionate about something,
right.
and he felt called to do what he did. It just happened to change a nation. So I think everybody has the capacity for greatness. But I think it's when we don't focus on being great, but we focus on what we feel called, driven, passionate about doing. I'm certain in your private practice that you do it because you feel called and passionate about doing it, not because you feel like I have to be the greatest psychotherapist in Dallas.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Or as a professor, you are passionate about teaching these kids something that's important, not that I've got to be better than all these other professors out there, be the best. So I think when we take the focus off of the performance aspect and go back on the motivation mm-hmm. for why we're doing it, then we stop worrying about the outcome.
Well, it's so funny.
Oh, what a lovely point.
It is. Yeah. Well put. I have the cover of Success. I have not the cover. I have the magazine Success uh-huh. magazine here. You have it, see?
Uh-huh.
And I was reading it last night, and I ran across this, and I just kind of pulled it. I didn't know if I would use it, but I love this, how things like this just fit in. And it says, and this is a quote from Yo-Yo Ma. He's a cellist, okay,
uh-huh.
a famous cellist, very successful. Passion is one great force that unleashes creativity, because if you're passionate about something, then you're more willing to take risks.
Don't you just love it?
I just love it, because that's the key to success is the passion.
Absolutely.
Because if you have that passion, you're willing to take the risk to do anything to make it happen, and you're less likely to quit on the 1 yard line.
Yes.
All right. I love it.
It's good.
All right. You're listening to One Life Radio. We'll be right back. Cut.
call us crazy. We don't mind. Crazy Water's all-natural mineral water has been making people feel good inside and out since 1881. As the only mineral water bottled in Texas, their water boasts loads of benefits that other bottled waters can only envy. Pretty crazy, huh? Find it at your local Whole Foods, HEB, Central Market, or have it shipped right to your door. Visit them at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
This is a Sun Warrior Superfood update. The makers of the cleanest vegan plant-based organic protein on the planet just got even more delicious. Now Warrior Blend is available in two brand new flavors, berry and mocha. And as always, non-GMO, dairy-free, gluten-free, and no artificial colors or sweeteners. It's organic, clean, and delicious. And right now, be the first to try it at sunwarrior.com before it hits stores nationwide. And for a limited time offer, visit sunwarrior.com and use the coupon code OneLifeWarrior to get 20% off. That's sunwarrior.com and use the coupon code OneLifeWarrior. That's sunwarrior.com.
Constipated? Bloated? Ugh, that's the worst feeling. Get things moving with Good Move capsules from the makers of Squatty Potty. Good Move capsules are formulated with only the finest ingredients like organic herbs, probiotics, and digestive enzymes. So get your colon healthy and make a good move. Happy colon, happy life. Go to SquattyPotty.com. That's SquattyPotty.com. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Elise Saprina. I've got Lexi Brinkley, Dr. David Young, and Robin Perry Braun in studio with me. And, you know, I want to give a shout out to our experts and all of them. You can find all of our experts at OneLifeRadio.com. And you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook to get in line for one of our weekly giveaways. We give away Squatty Potties and Sun Warrior, cases of Crazy Water, all kinds of really good things.
Yeah, good stuff.
And Crazy Water, I love Crazy Water. I absolutely can tell you with 100%, you know, assurance and confidence that when I drink that water, my brain does indeed feel better. I'm not kidding you. I'm more stable when I drink it. And, you know, the minerals that are essential for your brain health, they're all in there.
I got to drink more of that.
You do.
I do.
You're going to drink water anyway. And most people drink bottled water. So drink crazy water so you're not so crazy.
It's crazy good.
Well, it makes you feel better. It really, really does. It's not my imagination or any of the other people that it's helped over the years. It's been it's come straight out of the earth from Mineral Wells, Texas. So,
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Oh, coming from the source.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And whenever I'm in Whole Foods, I always front their water out for them, you know, in the cooler.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like I own the company, but I don't.
You're a warrior.
I am. And, you know, I love what we're talking about today, how to set realistic expectations for yourself, because I think that, again, this is really important. And this, is intertwined with emotional health, because you can't set realistic expectations unless you have emotional health as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the two are intertwined.
I think so.
So, you know, how should we go about determining if our self expectations are realistic?
Oh, good question. Well, I think that you've got to ask yourself, why do I think I should be able to do this? You know, that's one question. Mm-hmm. Why do I think I can do this?
Because I can. Because I'm a tugboat.
Well, no, I think I've told you all the story before. I may or may not have. You know, one time one of my chickens died. I walked into the coop and it was just dead. And I was like, oh, no, you know, I wonder, you know, if it got egg bound or if there's some disease.
What's egg bound?
So when an egg actually gets stuck internally.
Oh, gosh.
And it can lead to death.
Like a baby.
Yeah. So I'm trying to be a good, chicken farmer. And chicken, you know, farm, what people say you got to do is you got to do a little autopsy and kind of figure it out. See if you can figure it out, because you want to protect the flock. So I did an autopsy out in my field. I got a table and I was doing
it. Oh my gosh.
I know. And I was trying to figure it out. I'm trying to find the biological
cause
of death of this chicken. I know. Well,
it's smart brain.
Well, see, this is my crazy brain.
Okay.
I got to drink more
so
crazy water.
So you did
water.
An autopsy on a chicken. I did not know that.
Autopsy on a chicken, and I was so frustrated. I was going through it and looking here and there, and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't figure this out. And I was getting so frustrated with myself. And then I realized, why on earth do I think that I could figure out the biological cause of death of this organism? Like what training do I have to allow me to do that? It's just ridiculous that I'm expecting that I could do this.
Yeah.
You know, so somehow or another, I don't think I've really fully kind of figured it out yet. I somehow took this on as a reasonable task, you know, and I kind of forgot that, well, okay, if there were big signs like the coyote and the roadrunner used to use that, like with big arrows pointing to, look here, this is the thing that went wrong, then I could have figured it out. But without that, you know, some obvious sign, I shouldn't be able to figure it out. So how quickly you can kind of fool yourself into kind of feeling like maybe you can do something that you can't, you know, and so it's a constant process of asking, should I be able to do this? Like, am I a veterinarian? No, I'm kind of not.
But can't you be an optimist without being a fool?
Yes, I think so.
I think so.
You know, so I just think that you get pulled in so many different directions. I quickly got pulled into an area of frustration, but luckily quickly realized what I was kind of up to and pulled myself out of it and found myself just laughing. You know, I was just laughing at myself. It was funny. So really, it's an ebb and flow. You know, you're going to get pulled in these different directions of thinking you can do more than you can and having to reevaluate. You know, should I be expecting myself to do this? Why am I doing
it? There's a book out, a new book that's popular. It's called Mindset. I forget the author's name. She's a Harvard professor, I think. Anyway, the idea is that we can either have a fixed or a growth mindset. And so the idea of a fixed mindset
is... I want the growth one.
Right.
Yeah, me too.
The fixed mindset means when I don't do well, I fail. The growth mindset is when I don't do well, I learn.
Yeah.
And so that kind of mindset really precludes feeling failure, because what you found out, it was not an egg. The egg didn't the eggs, there was no egg stuck in there, so that did not cause the death of your chicken.
Well, you know what?
Right. So you learned
which is what I
learned what the inside of a chicken looks like.
Well,
that's nice.
And 10 ways to boost your emotional health. I have this thing in front of me where it says to learn more. One of my favorite expressions is knowledge is power, and it totally is. Knowledge is power. Grow your circle of friends, get moving, have sex. I didn't know that. This is 10 ways to boost emotional health. Isn't that interesting? Develop a passion. We were talking about passion. Eat and drink in moderation, meditate or practice yoga, manage your time, get enough sleep, learn to say no.
Oh, those are great.
Those are great.
You know, another complicating factor here is after something happens, and let's say, you know, it didn't go well, when we look back with hindsight, we can usually kind of figure a few things out, like about why it didn't go well. We can see that it didn't go well and that it was a mistake or didn't work out. And then we can feel inherently guilty or ashamed or inferior in hindsight.
Mm-hmm.
So hindsight is a dangerous thing to have, and a good thing, I think, as Robin's pointing out, that it allows us to learn. But I think that we have to be disciplined in our minds and frame it that way, I learned something, because it's so easy to look back and go, oh, I sure messed
that
up.
Well, and back to the mindset, if we ruminate back on something, let's say a business didn't work out and we're going, it didn't work out because I didn't do this, I didn't do this, I didn't do this. If our paradigm is that we were supposed to be very successful and make a bunch of money on this business, then we didn't do this, we didn't do this, and so it failed.
Right.
But if our mindset is, I'm going to step into this business because it's presented itself to me. I'm passionate about it. I'm interested in it. But we don't set an expectation of, say, financial success, and it doesn't go well. We look back and we go, I learned how to do this, and I learned how to do this,
absolutely,
and I grew in this area, and I grew in this area. And those are two totally different reflection backs on it. So it really is about the paradigm we go into things with, and that's the fixed versus the growth.
Yeah.
You know, and we can teach that to our children. When our children make mistakes on tests, or they come home and you say, well, what did you learn? Not why did you get that wrong?
Yeah.
Because you don't expect a 5-year-old to know everything, or a 12-year-old to know everything. But if their culture says, well, when you make a mistake, it's because you didn't know what you were supposed to know, versus, well, that test was too hard, but the teacher's going, well, I want you to learn. I want to teach you how to grow. I want to teach you to be okay with not knowing everything, because that's reality. Reality is you're never going to know everything.
Absolutely. No, I couldn't agree more.
So there are very powerful social influences here, you know, that, you know, we all work on these things individually, but still, you know, there are cultural kind of mores and expectations, you know, that in school, you know, that you're supposed to sit down, pay attention, and memorize, or whatever, you know, whatever these are, you know, don't get this wrong, you've got to get an A, whatever they may be. And so that's part of why it's such hard work, you know, that we're kind of in a medium here with influences coming from all sides. And that's why you have to be so disciplined in kind of cultivating these stances. And these really are states of mind that you're trying to cultivate so that in any given instance that's stressful in these ways that we're talking about, you can kind of activate this frame of mind of putting it in a certain perspective, like a learning perspective,
and
you know, that I'm emphasizing the importance of experience instead of outcome.
Right.
You know, it's the journey, right? Not
yeah,
the destination.
Absolutely. And you're a lot happier when you're in that mindset
and
as well.
And that seems to me
all the time.
Right.
Yeah, that seems to me to be the whole point, people.
Yeah. Right.
The happiness. I mean, if we're not cultivating that, what are we doing?
Right.
Well, and you can't be passionate about anything if you're living in fear, and it squishes it. It absolutely, you have to really stay in the present moment. And I know people are like, I'm so sick of hearing about the present moment, you know, and meditate, all this stuff, you know, seriously. But it is so true.
It's so,
you know,
true.
You can't look back and beat yourself up, and you can't look too far forward and live in fear in order to be happy.
So work on that every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Every minute.
I love working with you guys. Always a pleasure. Always fun.
You too.
And I hope everyone out there listening enjoyed the show too. We love doing it. We just do. And especially Tuesdays. Tuesdays are super fun. And so you know what? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.